John was on Patmos because he refused to be a hidden Christian, and he was paying the cost for his openness. John Wimber reminds us that love is always spelt R-I-S-K. Again and again, we may need to set out by night, not knowing what will happen or where our efforts will lead, but trusting that if we're responding to the leading of the Lord, then he will turn night into day and bring fruit from what we sow. And rule number one for budding tightrope walkers is simple. Don't look down, look ahead. Fix your eye on something further ahead and you'll get across to where the Lord is waiting. I love that verse in Hebrews 12, looking away unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on him and turning from things that could distract or obsess us. Now, because this is a meditative CD rather than just a teaching one, let's take the time now to think about some of the things that incline us to look down, or to give up, or to look inside ourselves for resources and find that we just haven't got them. Show us what it means, Lord, to look away unto you. Alert us when we're doing the opposite, and how that hurts you and hurts others too. I don't know about you, but I find that one of the routes by which the pressure often builds up is along the fault lines of misunderstanding or even envy. If you look closely, you'll see that at the heart of almost every relationship split or trouble, there's a root of envy at work. It poisons everything. It makes it so much harder to proceed. But we can't afford to hold back, let alone to take any of its characteristics on board. When envious comparisonitis strikes in our own heart, have you noticed that it often does so in relation to those skills or areas that are closest to our own heart? These emotions are so toxic that if only we could see them for what they really are, we'd flee them as quickly as we would run from a rattlesnake. Ask the Lord to set us free from every trace of those bites, so that we can bless others as they go about their daily work and ministry. It's impossible to resent someone you're really praying for. So who would the Lord have you pray for in such ways? An example I've often shared concerns F.B. Meyer, who was one of the most popular conference speakers of his time. The time came when his followers flocked to listen to a new, young preacher. And any minister feels the loss of being superseded. But instead of succumbing to disappointment and even resentment, Meyer resolved to spend as much of his spare time as he could praying for the success of the other man's ministry. I can think of no better way to overcome the power of envy or to respond to changing roles and situations which Patmos invariably brings with it. And that man's name was Campbell Morgan, and I believe that we can perhaps attribute a lot of his success in the Lord to the fact that Meyer was so gracious in passing on the baton to him. Another thing that happens during Patmos times is that you find out who your real friends are, as opposed to those who are only interested in you because of what you appear to offer them. Living in the Spirit is all about being able to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. There are people who take a slightly perverse pleasure in you being weak so that they can, as it were, feel one up on you and minister to you. But their idea of service amounts to exercising a measure of control over you. It feeds their need to be needed, And it often means that they can't rejoice when you're doing well and rejoicing, because your success and your joy is a challenge to them. And others, well, they only feel comfortable if you're strong and on top form. They feed off your strength, but really they're only interested in drawing on it for themselves. They don't want to know if you're in trouble, because that would mean they had to give more of themselves. And they have neither the heart, the desire, nor perhaps even the emotional resources to do that. In much the same way that we may never really know how deep a relationship is until we've had a clash of wills and have seen how we both handle this, so one of the tests of true friendship is how we relate to each other when the other is feeling low and vulnerable. The acid test is, can we rejoice when they rejoice and weep when they're weeping? It's a great joy when we discover during these Patmos times that someone actually cares for us much more than we'd realised. May we be proactive in coming alongside the people the Lord directs us to show how much we care for them. Don't hold back from getting involved with people who are going through the mill, thinking you've got nothing to offer. As we saw before, it's our presence that they need, not our ability to provide solutions. Anything we can do to put heart and courage back into people is worth its weight in gold. Give the matter some thought now. Is there anyone the Lord would have you go out and encourage today? Don't hold back from reaching out to these people. Stir yourselves into action and follow them up. Reassure them that they're not where they are by accident. The Lord may actually have a very special purpose in them being seemingly sidelined at the moment.